December 22nd, 2004, Oceana Community Services District Board of Directors meeting is hereby called to order. Roll call, please.
President Dahl.
Here.
Vice President Mann.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hale.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here. Okay, if you'd all please stand and the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our next item of business is board member items for discussion. Does anybody have anything at this time?
I don't.
No.
No.
Okay, I'm going to move on to public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Anybody would like to address the board? This would be the
Good evening. I'm Claudette Noah, and I live on 22nd Street in Oceana. And I want to comment on the run-in that I had with Mitch Cooney. We were doing pretty good, my husband and I, until he got ill, and we had to go on Social Security. And our bills are not—they're not used, but they're not small either. And for a long time, me and the water company, we could work with one another when I had a problem. And this particular day, I called Cindy and I said, well, you know, I have a problem making the water payment, the water bill payment. And so Cindy says, well, probably we can do something about it. So I went down to the office, and Cindy, when she saw me walk in the door, she immediately went back to the down the hall. And here come Mitch Cooney. And I told him what I needed. And he said, that's not my problem. You're not my problem. You ought to learn to pay your bills. That way you wouldn't be in the mess that you're in. And it wasn't right. It's not fair. There's other people in Oceano. And another thing, PG&E and the gas company, they work with people. Mitch Cooney doesn't work with nobody. And I feel like I was just floored. I could not believe that man talked to me that way. My husband is home. Oxygen machine, breathing machine, and probably maybe some other people in Oceano are just as worse off. I don't need to be treated that way. It's not right. He needs to go.
Thank you.
My name is Nina Grabiel. I live on 22nd Street in Oceano. And I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody, but same token, life goes on. So I want to remind you that after the OCSD Board of Directors meeting on October 13th, I stayed and spoke with President Dahl and Vice President Mann about how Mr. Cooney had withheld public information from my husband and then from me. He made false statements to me about my husband, and then he had the audacity to write up false statements in his report to the Water and Sewer Committee about his inspection of our home on August 10th. Now, both President Dahl and Vice President Mann told me to put my complaint in writing to the Board of Directors, and Director Mann told me that all I needed was to submit one copy, and copies would then be made for all the directors. At the November 10th OCSD Board of Directors meeting, I submitted three written complaints and handed them directly to President Dahl. One was against the utility operations supervisor, Phil Davis. One was against administrative assistant, Gina Davis. And one was against general manager, Phil Cooney. On December 11th, 31 days after I submitted my complaint, I inquired with President Dahl about the status of the complaint, since I had not heard hide nor hair from OCSD on the matter. President Dahl told me that he was about halfway through reading my complaint, and that he had actually, I can't believe he told me this, that he had asked Mr. Cooney for a copy of it, and that actually Mr. Seamus had the original. Now, there's something wrong with this, because, first of all, Mr. Dahl should never have gone to Mr. Cooney and asked him for a copy of a complaint against him. There's some kind of a conflict of interest there. I'm not sure what's going on there. Mr. Cooney shouldn't be even be handling a complaint that's filed against him. Second, both President Dahl and Vice President Mann had 28 days notice that a complaint was coming, and they should have taken that time to look into what is a proper protocol for handling the situation. Apparently, they didn't do that. How do they handle complaints against their own general manager? Third, as soon as the complaint was filed, all the directors really should have received a copy, as Vice President Mann indicated that would happen, or at least a memo should have been sent out to them letting them know that a complaint had been filed and that where they should go to get a copy or review it. Why that didn't happen, I don't know. None of that stuff happened. Fourth, a letter should have been sent to me and my husband by now telling us in writing that OCSD has received the complaint and what the process was that the board was going to be taking and handling it. And, nothing's happened. That may pay for your livelihood, okay? You don't own that right. It's a privilege. Okay. So if this board can't get it together to run an honest, competent, legal, and transparent organization, then I'll just have to take it to the people of Oceano, because together we have much more power than you guys do together. My taxes aren't paying for this nonsense to go on, manipulation of the truth, withholding of information, residents being treated with disrespect and disdain and just arrogance. All we need to do as citizens of Oceano is just basically get together and sign a petition. We just need 10% of the population of Oceano to sign a petition saying that we want OCSD disbanded to start the process. Now, I'm sure, because I've already talked to a few people about this, and I've had an overwhelming agreement. People are ready to just stop this, because Oceano existed before OCSD was here, and long after OCSD is disbanded and you guys are all dead in your graves, Oceano is still going to be here. So we don't really need you. You're just another layer of bureaucracy that is just harassing us, frustrating us, manipulating, the law or the ordinances, and it's just, we're not going to pay for this, and we're not going to stand for it. So either you do your jobs, get it together, find competence and integrity within yourselves, hire some competent people, or Oceano will disband OCSD. It's just that simple, because we don't need you. We can't disband the federal government. We can't disband the state government. We can't disband the county government, but we can disband you. That's our right, and you don't have any rights over that. That's the right of the people. Merry Christmas.
Anyone else?
Merry Christmas. My name is Helen Gabler. I'm from Oceano. This morning's TPR paper had a statement in there. The community is pushing for newly elected board member Jim Hill, who has no political experience, to be elected as board president for the coming year. We don't need a person with past political experience in Oceano. There's enough of them. We need someone who's not going to bring with them old favors, questionable loyalties, or personal agendas. Jim Hill is an experienced administrator and will administrate the duties of his office openly and honestly. And I really don't think he's the type of person, when you present a problem to him, he'll shrug and say, "I don't know, I guess I'll have to talk to Angela." Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time?
Hi there. Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. My name is Rio. I grew up here in Oceano, so I wanted to address the board about an issue we have on my block. Basically we have a lot of traffic coming through now, and people are just driving through like mad, you know. So I'd like to eventually have some way that we can slow traffic down on just at least, you know, that block. But I'd like to work with anybody and talk to you like further about this later on. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It's an item that is not under our jurisdiction.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure that if you stop in at the district or so and ask where to go or who to talk to on that issue, that you should be able to get some information on where to go from there.
Who should I ask? Or
just come into the district, into the front office, or you can call. Usually Rose or so is in like Public Works or something there. But probably direct you into a direction to go with.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time?
Mary Lucy Oceano, happy holidays. During your discussion on your subcommittees and stuff, would you please take into consideration establishing a community advisory body within your body for the community? In the past, I've worked in small communities, and it's a place for people to come and talk about agenda items for our elected officials. Thank you.
We have put in a proposal at, I believe, your request, and this is basically a taster to show you. It will be aired on Channel 21. I'll probably put the audio up as well on our website, which is slowspan.org, slo-span.org, or actually I've just adjusted the site, so any way you put it in, it'll get there. even if you're having a bad day spelling. With that, entertain any questions or just leave it be and let you have your meeting.
We have public comment, so appreciate the demo, and I'm sure that we'll be bringing something to the board on this issue in the future.
You bet. There is a light buzz, I want you to know, right off the bat. There's a light buzz in the audio that, because I'm drawing audio from the house, that we could probably work out if we were here on a regular basis. And you might want to use your mics real aggressively if you could, and that it won't be so frustrating for the viewers. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Thank you for your comments, and thank you for being here. We're going to move on to item number 5A, review and approval of the minutes. Does anybody have any corrections or anything to this? Yeah, I have one. Page number 4, 8A, number 1, there was a note saying that showing that I said that chlorine contact standard would soon go out to bid. Actually, what I said was that we were holding the pre-construction meeting. So that's the only correction that I have. Anyone else have anything?
Yes, right above that on the page, an interesting statement that we'd like to communicate with our state representative on behalf of the board concerning the methodology used to calculate URF3. While that may be it's an interesting statement, but I think we meant to say methodology.
Well, maybe not.
I'll move to accept the minutes as corrected.
Okay, Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
I second it.
Okay, who's going to second it?
I'll second it.
Okay. All right. Anything else on this? Any public comment on the minutes?
Well, I'll make it really, really quick. But I don't remember when on page 2A, it says that I was given an answer on the nature of the community center grant, and I actually, you know, I might have not heard it, but I don't remember getting an answer as to what type of grant it was or any pertinent information. So it stated that this was a, I don't even know what the heck that is, modus operandi for community center issues.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay, moving on to item number 6A. This is the election of the board officers. In the past, we've had a tradition of asking for nominations three times before closing, with no response before closing the nominations. And I would ask that we would respect that again. Anybody else have anything? Or is there anything, Mr. Kinney? Is there anything you have to add to this before we move forward?
The staff report kind of gives the process for the call for nominations.
Okay, anybody else have anything here? Okay, I'm going to go to public comment on this before we come back to the board. So anyone wishing to address the board on this item, may do so at this time. Is there any public comment?
My name is Nina Grabia. I live in Oceano, and I just want to say that out of all the people that I think I know of that are running for president, I really think that Jim Hill is really the only option we have. I'm sorry, but, you know, President Dahl and Vice President Mann, as far as handling my situation.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board at this time on this item?
I'd like to see our new fearless leader be conflict-free, that this president be only the president to this board, not, you know, five, six, seven, or maybe more boards. So that's what I'd like us to see, is somebody who's conflict-free of leadership or being a chair on any other boards.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board? Hearing none, bring it back to the board, and we will open up the nominations.
President Dahl, I'd like to nominate Jim Hill as president.
Okay, we have Jim nominated. Do we have any other nominations? Do we have any other nominations? Do we have any other nominations? Okay, last time, any other nominations? Okay, hearing none, nominations are closed. They need to be closed by. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to close the nomination. Okay, I have a motion to close the nominations. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and second, and at this point, we will go on to the vote. Or do we need to go through a vote? Okay, we now have a new president by acclamation. And appreciate your service on the board.
Thank you, and I appreciate your service. And I echo Peggy's comments that I very much appreciate what you've done to improve the communication between the public and the board.
Thank
Okay, moving on to item B, the election of the vice president. I'd like to open the nominations for vice president.
I'd like to nominate Rundahl as vice president.
I'd like to...
Thank you, David, but at this time, I think I'm going to decline that nomination. I'm going to take a little bit of time back a little bit and not and put some effort into some personal business and stuff that I need to do. So I'm not going to. I don't want to take on too much at this time. But I do appreciate the nomination. Thank you.
May I make another nomination?
Please do.
I nominate for Barbara Mann.
Are there any other nominations?
Can the public make a nomination?
No. Are there any other nominations?
I'd like to nominate Dave Angelo.
I'd like to give you the opportunity to do the best for you to have any desires for you. Thank you.
Are there any other nominations? Hearing none and having requested that several times. Do we have public comment?
Well, since the vice president acts in the absence of the president, I really think we need some new blood in that office, so I would personally nominate Bill Bookout.
Any other public comments?
My name is Adam Wagner. I'm from Santa Maria, and although I don't always get to attend these meetings in person, I do frequently get to watch them on videotape later on. And just so the entire board is aware, I personally don't know much about the character of a few members of the board, but regardless of that, I would personally, if I were able to, I would nominate Bill Bookout for vice president. That's not to slight Mrs. Mann to any degree, but just that would be my personal inclination. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
In that regard. Not that I don't think David is a depth of talent, but I just know David has never been one to want to run meetings. And I do know that Barbara does run a good meeting, and she has the experience with the districts and its issues that would make her a very, very good candidate for vice president. She would be a good president. I think that in the best of all worlds, having you as president and Barbara as vice president is the ideal setup. Thank you. Bill, next year, it's on you.
Is there any other public comment? Hearing none, bring it back to the board. Do we have... Then move to close the nominations.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Carries 5-0.
You cast it.
I believe we can move to cast the ballot by acclamation.
Yeah, or we have to formally do that, or you just do that?
I'll declare that Barbara's the vice president by acclamation.
Congratulations,
Barbara.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'd
do appreciate the depth of experience that Peggy talked about. I'm looking forward to working with Barbara and all of the board. That experience, I'm sure, will serve us well going forward. Next item is 6B, committee assignments. We'd like to consider the recommendation that the board members review the current list of committee assignments for final appointment at the January 12th board meeting. If you could please let me know the committees that you would like to serve on during the next year, and also those committees that you're unable to serve on for various reasons, time commitments and so forth. Please get this to me at your convenience. Item 6C. Is there public comment on? Thank you, Brian. Is there public comment on the board members' committee assignments?
Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I, as a member of the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee, have wondered recently if it wouldn't be helpful and instructional, although I haven't discussed it with him personally at length, to have Mr. Bookout included in that assignment, if Mr. Bookout would consider serving that way, because he's on such a steep learning curve, that might be helpful in terms of some of the planning issues and interface that we have to do with the county. I don't know if there are other board members that are seeking to serve on that particular committee. I do know that we will be losing Ms. Mann as our chairman as of next month. And I think that Mr. Bookout would be a fairly good fit there if, in fact, he would be willing to consider that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment regarding the board committee assignments?
I have a process question, Mary Lucy Oceano. Are the committees still in stone? Are they all relevant to now and the future? And is there any wiggle room to maybe as needed, have task forces or ad hoc committees, or look at what's you know working today and what's not working today? Because you know, I look at the treasury stuff, and I'd really like to see a treasurer on your board, or a fiscal and budget committee that's independent, that's not in house, that's of and by the people that can participate. I'd also, like I said before, you know, maybe I don't know the right terminology, but a community advisory board, you know.
Community board.
Has David set for that yet?
Not yet, no. That's okay. A further agenda item tonight.
All right.
Any other public comment? Can you bring it back to the board? This is just the recommendation that we consider our abilities, again, to serve on the various committees, and it's not an action item, actually, as far as that goes. Next item is 6C, financial statements for the period. Gina?
Yes, you have in your packet tonight the statements as of November 30th. At this time, we've got the $1,080,725 in revenue. Expenditures to date are $912,117. Given the net revenues and excess of expenditures at 42% of the year, $171,988.
Thank you very much. Any comments from the board? Hearing none, is there any comment from the public? Hearing
Nina Grabiello Shiano. Yeah, I'd like to know, are there are these financial statements backed up by a detailed breakdown of where the money's coming from, where the money's going, that the public can review? Okay, so there's no real financial, monthly financial statement that's put together as far as where money's coming in and where money's going out?
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I guess my concern is that there's a rumor going around the community here that there's a few hundred thousand dollars that are not accounted for. So I think as a citizen, in order to circumvent or make sure that things are on the up and up, that we should have the district's finances posted in the district office. And I would like to see a breakdown, a monthly breakdown of where the money's coming from, broken down as to where it's coming from, and broken down as to where it's going out. That's not uncommon to have. In fact, that's very common for most institutions to have that sort of information available to the people that they serve. It's part of being an honest and transparent organization. So I would think that we would want to look into that and have that done yesterday.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
I too am having a little trouble reading this financial document, and I understand it's just a monthly review. But in the future, maybe we could list the sources. Like, I can't decipher where the FEMA money is, where it came in, and also where the block grant money comes in. So, I understand this is just a monthly, you know, executive summary. So, and also too is that is the fiscal year June 31st. Ends June 31st and begins July 1st, so that's our same fiscal year. Okay, Mr. Okay, thank you.
Our fiscal year, I believe, is ends June 30th and commences July 1st. Is that not correct? Okay. In terms of these items, the district's books also are audited. There'll be an audit that will go through. The various biweekly warrants are available in the agenda package. Any other commentary? Hearing none, bringing it back to the board. I'd like to receive and file the report. Next item is item 6D, consideration to determine a time and place to conduct an initial study session on goal setting. Annually, we would like to have a discussion with the board.
I'm not working Saturdays and Sundays. I'm not able to work.
Okay.
I'd like to second that. I'm pretty much by definition on weekends. Weekdays are great for me.
Weekday.
Any day of the week.
I'm available on Mondays.
Mondays sound like a good day.
Mondays. Would a Monday be okay, Bob?
Monday's not good for me, but there's five of us, so whatever four of us say.
Sounds like a Monday might be satisfactory to most of us. Is there any comments from the public about desired times for a meeting for establishing goals for the district?
Well, if we break for lunch, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Is it Nina with Oceano? Is this goal-setting meeting open to the public?
Certainly.
Okay. Okay, and that's all I need to know. Thank you.
Point of information, this is going to be a meeting that's a study session for the board, so it will have public comment at the beginning and the end of it. And it will be held in public, but is it going to be a public participation meeting? Or is it going to be something that that we have as a meeting of the as a study session for the board? How is that? How are we looking at this?
This is agendized as an initial study session, which I think we would invite public participation. That it would be goals that the board would like to accomplish, considering.
Okay, so the public will be partaking as part of the goal setting workshop. I'm sorry, we're trying to figure out exactly how the setting of the workshop will be, whether it'll be or exactly how that's going to work. Is this a staff question or is this a
perhaps Alex, do you have a?
Well, you can structure it pretty much any way you want to. Typically, the way they would be structured is you would take public comment at the beginning, and then once you close the public comment and it comes back to the board, then you would, you know, work through all the discussion yourselves. Otherwise, what tends to happen is it degenerates into a debate with individual members of the public that have a particular issue that they want to pursue. So you would typically take comment from the public, then bring it back to the board. Work through the process yourselves, and you're probably not going to get through it in one meeting. It's probably going to take two or three, and the public would have the opportunity to comment at those subsequent meetings as well.
Any other public comment?
That's one way, Mary Lucy Oceano. That's actually one way of facilitating a relatively large meeting. Another way of facilitating a very large meeting and with being inclusive of the taxpayers is to hire an outside facilitator and have it break into meetings. Maybe it could be on your committees or strategic planning or budget or whatever, but outside facilitation will keep the process moving along. And it also, I agree with council, is that it is probably going to take you a few meetings to do it, but I am one for inclusion, so I would really recommend working towards inclusion, not exclusion, and that's one way you can do it.
Thank you. What we'd like to do now is establish a date to have the initial study session. The initial study session may imply that there could be additional ones after that, so as far as the initial date,
how about January 10th? So second Monday.
That could be good.
At what time?
Afternoon, morning. Does anybody have a?
All day.
All days.
Yeah. I would suggest maybe starting around 10 or 10:30. Or kind of going until whenever we break in the afternoon. We can do a lunch in between if you want.
I kind of would like to see us start at 9:30, break at 11:30, and come back at 1:30. That would accommodate the other obligations that perhaps we might have during the lunch hour on Mondays.
Okay, point taken.
On the agenda that deals with a physical location that I live within 500 feet of, so at this point I need to recuse myself with this from the board.
Thank you.
Thank you. Christmas Eve.
The executive director of the Oakdale Community Center requested the past resolution be adopted by the board. The resolution, if adopted, is the operational document obtaining grant funding. In the audience this evening are members of the Oakdale Community Center Incorporated. And the executive director, Barbara Carroll.
Thank you. Is this the same item that was projected for inclusion on the agenda last 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the item?
I asked to have this placed on the agenda because last time it was brought forth on an emergency case, which some were supposed are being processed that way. So we got on the agenda with the proper way this time. And I guess probably at this time would be best to hear from the community center, I think.
Okay, I appreciate that it has been brought properly before the board this time. Is Barbara here?
President Hill and members of the board, welcome to the new board members. I wish you a lot of success in your endeavors, having sat in a seat or number of seats like you're sitting in today. I know what the challenges are, and as the current president of the Oceanic Community Center, my name is Ruth Brackett. I hope that we can work together in the future to finalize this building that has been in the works for, I've probably been working on it for 15 years, and we have 1 year to go to complete this building. And the item before you tonight is really what I call a housekeeping issue. The previous board actually approved going forward with this item and applying for this grant. And we need a resolution to memorialize that particular decision. So that's what's before you tonight. So Barbara Carey, the executive director, is here. If you have questions, Rick Thirsty is a board member. We're all here to answer any questions. But basically, it's a completion of an item that was on the board's agenda previously, and the board did decide on these issues in this resolution. So it is our hope that you can provide us with this resolution which formalizes that decision.
Okay, should we direct questions to you or to Barbara?
Well, she's the technical expert, but we can start with me, and if I'm inadequate, we'll bring Barbara up here.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, this proposed resolution is different than the item that was presented to this board on September 22nd. Is that not correct?
I think the board dealt with a number of items that evening, and this was one of them, the application for this grant. And the grant has to be applied for by the Community Services District, and it's kind of a pass-through to the Community Center. We've already been successful in the past in getting one of these grants, and so this is $500,000 that will help us go a long way to completing the remainder of the building. Obligation of over $13,000 a month, and that simply isn't going to be true because we are applying not only for this grant, but other grants, and we will be applying for foundation money, and we have a steering committee for our capital campaign program who will be also raising money. So, you know, this grant is very important to us.
So far, we've raised $2.8 million, mm-hmm. and this money has all been used. In the
yes, you see it standing there on the location.
And it's taken $2.8 million to get
to build the outside of the building, the framework.
What is it going to take to complete this building? If we're getting a loan from Coast, that's from the bank,
mm-hmm.
What's your projection of actual completing this project?
The loan is for $2.4 million, and the estimated completion date is, depending on when the bids are let and contracts are signed, September, October of 2005 is when we're looking forward to having the inside of the building completed.
Has there been any reconciliation of how the money was spent, the $2.8 million in the building? I mean, I didn't receive any paperwork, or it has not been brought towards me to see how the money has been spent to get to the stage it is right now.
Well, the building was built with CDBG grant money through the County of San Luis Obispo and other state grants, and the reporting requirements that we have to make to those agencies, they have a lot of control over how we spend that money. And again, we invoice those agencies and they pay the bills. And if they don't agree with that, then they're not going to pay those bills. So that I believe that's a matter of public record of in these various agencies of the money that was given to the center and how it was allocated.
I share some of your concerns, though, because I've seen nothing in relation to financial statements or anything like that.
They can't hear you, dear.
I'm sorry. I'm voicing that I have also shared Bill's concern because I've also not seen any kind of financial statement or report.
Well, all of this was part of the public record of the previous hearing in September. So if you need to go back and get that information, the district has it.
Could I just clarify a little bit? At the September 22nd hearing, there were two items that came before the board. The first one had to do with approving the lease, so which was a requirement for OCCI to be able to complete the negotiations on the loan with Coast National Bank. As a condition of approving the lease, OCCI had to present some financial information. That was presented in a fairly summary fashion, but there was financial information presented having to do both with the construction costs and with the anticipated operating costs and sources of revenue for the organization once the building got up and running. That board made a determination that the OCCI had provided substantial enough information that the board approved the lease subject to two final conditions being met. And those two conditions had to do with showing an executed contract with the contractor who was going to, in fact, complete the improvements and demonstrating that they were going to be complete, that they had enough resources to complete the improvements, and that OCCI had a binding commitment for all the funds necessary to complete the improvements. So there was basically it was the contractor's contract and the final approval for the loan and any grant funds. Those are the two conditions left for the approval of the lease that came out of that September 22nd meeting. A second item that was on that September 22nd meeting, but which was not the focus of this discussion that night.
Papers, or for the papers for us to sign. And I'm wondering what the holdup on that is, because there was this big push that we had to say yay or nay on putting the lease up, or the lease up as security, and for the funds to be approved, and I believe, was it agricultural funds that was backed?
Yeah, this loan is backed by USDA, and they were kind of pushing to get it done by the end of the year. But as you know, in the best of worlds, political activities don't always come together when you want them to do. And so we're faced with putting that together. We are probably going to go out to bid in January, and by the end of January, 1st of February, have a signed contract. So that's what we're, and the bank has, and USDA has approved that delay.
So do we have a letter or anything from the bank saying that the loan has been approved? Because I know when they were pushing us so hard in September, because the federal government's budget, I think, ends the end of September, they start new one October 1, and if I remember correctly, it was, well, we have to get it in 2003-2004 as opposed to 2004-2005. So I just want to be sure that, number one, that money has been approved. That's my first concern.
Well, Barbara would probably have to answer that question as far as the letter.
And then my second question, is this $500,000 grant, is the bank going to loan you the money if you don't have this grant?
The bank already has said they will loan us $2.4 million.
Okay, so this
and
would reduce.
It would, any grant money, this grant money, CDBG grant money, foundation money, anything else that we can get, and we are going to diligently work on that to reduce our obligation
to
borrow from the bank.
Now, let's continue this a little bit further. I think maybe just to kind of explain something to Bill. When they're using block grant money or that, they get the work done, they present those invoices to the county, and then the county cuts a check in that amount. So it is proved to the county or to whoever's controlling the money that that work has been done. So that's how that kind of flows. They don't get the money and then go out and get the work done. They get the work done, they submit the invoices, the check is cut, and then the vendor gets paid. That's the way that works.
And we're also, like with CDBG grant money in particular, the county is required to spend their allotment within a certain period of time. So if we get CDBG grant money, we just can't hang on to it forever. We have a certain amount of time in which to move forward to spend the money that's been allocated to us. So there are a lot of checks and balances and oversight of how we spend this money.
Now, when the bank had a meeting or two with your banker, and when we were discussing a $13,000 a month payment, I don't really remember him saying, oh, you would only be paying on the portion that you had borrowed to date. In other words, would that money work the same way? You do the work and then you submit the invoices to the bank and then they cut you a check?
Right. They are not going to deposit any money in our account for any reason, whether it's $2.4 million or a portion of that. We have to invoice the bank and show that we have done that work and we need to pay those bills. That's how it's going to work.
So the bank then will allow you to spend $2.4 million to complete the inside of this building. Is that correct?
Right, and the loan is good for 30 years. It's a 30-year loan for a total of $2.4 million. So what we're hoping is not to ever have to borrow $2.4 million, that we will raise money through various forms to, you know, it's a security for us knowing that it's there, that when we have an invoice to pay for work that's been done, that we can access those funds. But we will be working. We have a capital campaign plan that spells it all out, how we're to do this. And
I guess what concerns me a little bit is on this resolution, I'm being asked to certify that the applicant, which is OCCI, I guess, has sufficient funds to operate and maintain this project.
If we get it.
Well, that's...
Absolutely.
Okay, Alex, what kind of... If we certify this, how responsible are we for that grant money?
Well, I've not had an opportunity to review the contract or the application, so I can't state that to a moral certainty. And I was a little bit troubled by this particular language myself, and I spoke with Mitch about it earlier this week. And I can certainly understand two board members that had not participated and lived with this project for the last couple of years having some uncertainty. But it is a fact that at the September 22nd board meeting, there was some financial information that was provided that spoke with regard to the ability of the organization to operate and maintain the project for, I believe, 3 years. And so this board has had at least some information in front of it that speaks to that particular issue, and the board, as constituted at that time, reached a determination that they met the requirement for at least 3 years.
Then does a board... I guess what's the protocol? If the previous board said yes, then is it incumbent upon this board to say the board has already made the finding, therefore we just have to be the ones signing the papers?
I don't think you are categorically required to abide by that finding, but if you were going to reach a different finding, you'd have to show that you're not acting arbitrarily or capriciously or, you know, just because it's a different group that's on the board. And you could be subject to some challenge if you can't substantiate that a different finding is required at this time.
If I'm one that has, I share Barbara's concern to a very high degree. I work in the industry where I'm occasionally asked to certify something that has to do with the health and safety of the public, and I'm acutely aware of what the word certifies means, and I'm acutely aware of the penalties for false certification, if you will. And it troubles me very greatly that you can't give me a clear conscience signal that I could proceed with this. Furthermore, discussing that the sufficient funds to operate and maintain the project, I recall at that previous meeting that the director of OCCI started to make a presentation, and based on some kind of a spreadsheet, and that spreadsheet had a number of problems. And one of the directors, who's currently a director still, had to ask the director of OCCI to quit while she was ahead because the projections that were there were so out of touch with any potential concept of reality that it became almost a laughing matter, and that very much troubles me.
Well, I certainly understand your concern. I had similar concerns the night of that meeting. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, that board did come to a conclusion that it was adequate. And so there's certainly reasonable grounds for debate the night of September 22nd, but that board did come to the conclusion that it was adequate that night.
That discussion, if I recall, was also centered basically on the bank loan issue, as you mentioned previously.
That's correct.
My recollection of the discussion of the grant application at the time was that OCCI could proceed on their own to endeavor to get whatever grants they could from whatever source that they could to try to offset the funding for this project. And at the time, some of the board members who were engaged in the discussion there asked of council, if I recall, are they assuming any liability for the district in the event of a default, or are they assuming any personal liability in the event of a default? And from what I understood you to say a little bit earlier, you can't give us that assurance at this time.
The question that was asked on September 22nd, had to do with the security instrument that the bank was taking in connection with the loan. There was concern about whether the bank's encumbrance was going to encumber just the improvements to the property, which belonged to OCCI, or both the improvements, which belong. The applicant has reviewed, understands, and agrees to the general provisions contained in the contract shown in the procedural guide. I don't know whether they have or not. And I have not had the opportunity to review the grant application or the contract to see what sort of traps there might be in there for the district, if any. And these grants are routinely processed. So the fact that I wouldn't see it doesn't, you know, necessarily surprise me.
Well, and OCCI and the district has already processed one of these grants.
I have never before been asked to certify anything about this applicant. Neither have I been asked to certify that the grantee has or will have available prior to commencement of any work on the project a required match. The previous board, when this was brought up in September, was not asked to make any of those certifications and assurances either. And I'm extremely uncomfortable when my counsel has not had time to review any of these issues of proceeding any further with this issue.
I have some concerns, the same as yours, if our legal counsel has some problems with this, assuming that he doesn't have any problems, assuming that he looked at it and he didn't have any problems with him, which I would be surprised if he did, because as both Ruth and Alex have pointed out, this is fairly routine. We're basically, back to the same discussion we were in September. We've got a building that we're half built. And, the district is not giving up any property. We're not really diminishing our position by helping the community center get grants as we're being requested to. And if we don't, out there, and we put up a block wall at this gate here. They're gonna fail, and if they fail, we're gonna end up with that building. And we're gonna end up with a half built building, and we have the revenue for ourselves to complete the building. And we don't want to have to maintain that building and complete it, or at least this board member doesn't want to. I would hope that OCCI would be successful in getting it completed and then running it successfully. And at any time between now and then, it could fall back in our laps. And if it does, I would like to see it as far forward as possible, because it just strengthens everything they do to complete that building, strengthens our position. And it's just, it's just that simple. Unless there's something that I understand, I think I pretty much understand.
Again, I don't see how I could proceed with this lacking full assurance from Alex that he's had the time necessary, and these items too. I wouldn't have a problem with this as it's brought to us, if the second and third whereas is second and third, now therefore be it resolved. Those two items just trouble me immensely. And, you know, lacking that, it's pretty much what was brought before this board on the 22nd of September. But this is a new and different animal here, and I'm extremely uncomfortable.
I have a question of your counsel about the language. Since the September decision was made to go forward with this application.
Excuse me. That's not the fact. The fact of the matter is that...
Okay. Can I just finish my question? It's a view, too, but it's a legal question. Does number two and number three, does it have to say certify? It's a very strong word.
Yes, it is.
And so I'm wondering if there's different language for the resolution that can support what the previous board voted on for this application.
Well,
can two and three just be removed?
If items two and three would be removed because the statement that this is the same thing that was approved by the previous board, that is not a correct statement.
The board approved the application to go forward. They did not approve a resolution. And when I saw this language...
Why? Because of those two statements. Perhaps a way out of Dodge would be if you could bring us back lacking those two statements that...
Well, if again, Mitch is
I'm
correct...
I'm well aware of what certifies means.
It's very strong language. I would agree with you. I would be interested in going back and seeing what kind of resolution we had before, because apparently there was no problem, and I don't know what we had to certify at that time.
There was nothing certified before. There was no resolution presented. We were the board was simply asked to approve application for funds under this program, and it was adopted by motion. That's all that happened. No written resolution at all that I recall. Am I correct, Gina? Yeah.
Your recollection again squares with mine. Thank you.
Alex, can that be taken out, two and three?
Well, you can certainly take it out, and you could adopt the resolution tonight taking those out. The $64 question, of course, is whether that will do OCCI any good. But if you want to delete those and adopt the resolution tonight, you can certainly do that. Staff can then go back, retype the resolution with those items missing, and you can sign it tomorrow. So that part of it is not a problem. It's just a question of whether it's a useless act or not.
I think Rick Searcy was on the board.
Good evening, Rick Searcy, Vice President of the OCCI. Congratulations to the new elected officials. OCSD has previously been a pass-through agent for this same Rosetti-Zeeburg grant. The resolution that was passed the last time that the district withheld, I don't know what type of language was in it. But this is, you know, I think I was in the back listening to what's going on. I think there's two issues here. You the one issue of the community center having the lease, and then also the issue of the grant. Basically, that night we asked the district be the pass-through agent and go forward with this application. In order for us to go forward with this application, this is the type of resolution that needs to be passed on with the grant application. The district will, if OCCI is successful in receiving the funds, the state will then use the OCSD as the pass-through agency. You become more like the county then with the CGB funds. As the community center expends its money, we present the bill to the county pays it. with this particular block grant of money, we would present the bill to OCSD, and then OCSD would then pay the bill. But you know, this is a community center that serves the entire community, which this is a community service district, which has parks and recreation, and thousands of hours have been worked upon to try to bring this. You know, this is not a ogre that's sitting up on 19th Street. This is something that this community needs. The needs assessment has been done. Feasibility studies have been done. Hundreds of thousands of hours have been put into this project. And, you know, you have the opportunity here to do something for the community. Granted, if there's a word here and there that seems to be putting some type of litigation in mind, trust me, these grants are done on a daily basis through almost every major city in the state of California. So I would urge you to get past, you know, the idea that, you know, the sky is falling and, you know, something terrible is going to happen to this community. The only good thing that can happen to this community is that we go forward and get this building finished so that all of us constituents can be using it and our children, because it's, you know, one of the reasons behind this building is this. These kids right here in the back do not have any opportunities today. And that's what this center is going to do, is going to create these opportunities. So I urge you to accept the resolution and pass it for the people of Oceano. Thank you.
Thank you. I am mindful of the work that's gone on in this project.
And indirect for administering and passing through these funds, that there's staff time that's worked on these grants, and if you truly are the fiscal agent, you know, and you just talked about preparing an application, and so if you're doing all the, you know, receivables and outgoing, I would like to add that, you know, whatever your choices are and how you're going to facilitate expediting that community center's doors open, right, in the future or for the next year, I would ask that you include a friendly amendment to all these grants of a 10 to 15% administrative cost. And that is, there is a line item in the budgets for these grants for admin. And I don't know of a fiscal agent in the state of California who do it for free. And then I would ask you to also add another friendly amendment that at least 75% of that indirect money go to the fire department, so we can start having a fund for the fire department to work off of. So it's two-pronged. One, you're adding a friendly amendment that all future grants from this point forward have a line item for indirects, and that a portion of those indirects go to the fire department. And then also, too, is that you mentioned that there was an RFP that's going to be released. You know, I don't know about the RFP, but I doubt there's a line item in there that strongly encourages local contractors to apply for this. You know, we should keep our money at home. You know, sole sourcing out, we've learned, doesn't work very well for the United States. So if we have the opportunity to have a local contractor work on local stuff, you know, it really makes sense. And hopefully you have a strong review process in mind, Council.
I have a staff question, if I may. Mitch, how many grants have we been the pass-through agent for? Is it just this particular...
Mainly for OCCI, the
block grant money? I thought that came right from the county. You're cutting the checks?
Proposition 70.
The answer to your question is
right off the top of my head, I don't know. But okay. I do have a comment.
the board did consider the administrative fee at the commencement of this entire process, and voted unanimously to waive the administrative fee for communities that are becoming residents and impact on the community. So it was considered.
Well, I guess getting back to this resolution,
I guess we should ask for any additional public comment. Is that hearing none? Peggy?
My apologies for not rising, Senator President Hill.
Peggy Wilson, Oceano. Initially, I was involved with this project. And I saw things taking place that left me horribly, horribly disturbed. And when I asked to have these issues addressed and dealt with, they weren't. And the confusion that's been expressed here tonight is an unmitigated line of confusion that has surrounded this project. When this board moved forward, or when that board moved forward in September with that lease, despite 9 unmet conditions, which I would very much have appreciated having had read into the record, 9 unmet conditions of the lease, it, in my opinion, acted with extreme fiduciary irresponsibility. Moving forward with this resolution tonight will only deepen the mire, and I'm asking the board to do the right thing for the community. Yes, a community center is a wonderful idea. However, there are some problems. The Oceano of today is not the Oceano of 15 or 20 years ago, and this project's supporters have ramrodded it through without taking into consideration the changing demographics of the community. Secondly, it is a fallacy to believe that this is going to be a community center for the community. It is going to be controlled by a private nonprofit corporation. And the obligate the truth. How can you certify these things? Look at item number 3, look at item number 4, look at item number 5. Can you really say to me and attest to me that you can answer those truthfully? No, you can't. And again, I want to repeat, Oceano of today is not the Oceano of 15 years ago. And Mrs. Brackett can be forgiven for overlooking that since she doesn't live here, nor does Ms. Carey. The people elect this board, and the people are legally endowed with the right to hold you accountable, not just at the ballot box, but at all points in between. Seeking to avoid that accountability, some members of this board in the past helped helped to contrive OCCI into existence and helped to create the perception that OCCI somehow represented the community and its wishes. I categorically refuse to allow anyone to think that OCCI does or ever did or ever will represent me, because it does not. It is a private nonprofit corporation of individuals whose interests are served by moving this process forward. The people are confused. The board is confused. I'm starting to think maybe Mr. Seamus isn't confused, and having read his recommendation to the board about what went on in September, he certainly wasn't confused about the 9 very important points in the contract that weren't complied with. It's no wonder people are confused. So I'm asking you to please decline this request this evening and let the truth begin to shine in Oceano so that we can salvage and recycle what we have. We've paid for it, but there's no free lunch, and the way this process has gone has been very costly, and it will be more costly in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Nina Graviel, Oceano. I've only been here since 99,
in Oceano, well, 98. And all I can say is I wasn't here in the beginning when the community center was first proposed to the people, but all I can say is, you know what, I'm here now, and that building is here now. And so my feeling is let's just try to make the best we can with what we got and do what we have to do to make this a better place. I mean, if it was brought up under bogus circumstances, you know, the building's here now. And I'm not going to, you know, how much was it? How many millions of dollars was that on there? $2.8 million to get the shell built? You know, why throw that away? I'm a taxpayer, too. So don't throw my money away. So let's just try to do what we can to make this work to the best for the people who live here. And but I do agree with Peggy on the issue of, you know, if it, you know, it's you know, I think people, especially people who are not as wealthy as other people, are the ones who actually pay the brunt for other people to, how should I say, flagrantly use their money. And it's kind of a shame. It's a disgraceful reflection of the society that does that. But and I don't want to see anybody else being abused in this community. I feel like this community has suffered enough abuse by being neglected by the state, by being neglected by the county, and by the abuse of the administrative staff here in Oceano. So, you know, we've had enough abuse, and I want to hopefully see some positive things come out of the chaos of the past. And I think that it's the new board and a new year, and we need to have a new outlook, and let's just focus on getting some positive things done and get rid of all the old riffraff, all the old negativity, all the you know, fractionalizing in the community and pitting one people against the other and so forth, and get rid of the incompetence, and let's just move forward with doing things in a good way. And I appreciate, Jim, you're not wanting to put OCSD in any kind of a bind. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we need to make sure, because that would also be a detriment to the community. So that's a good point, and I appreciate that. But at the same token, I want to make sure that we realize that, you know what, that building's not going to go away. It's here. It's built. So let's just try to do what we can to make it work for the people that it's supposed to be built for. Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing none, bring it back to the board. Dave, did you have a comment?
I was just going to propose that we take out 2 and 3. You said
I don't have a problem, and the building does need to be completed. We've heard that from the public.
Alex, do you need to look at if what's your opinion if items 2 and 3 were removed from this?
If 2 and 3 were removed from it, I have no concerns about the resolution as adopted then, but I'm not sure that it will meet the need that OCCI has. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody speak to that issue. So I'm just concerned it might be a useless act, that's all.
But let's try it.
If I could. I heard Mitch Cooney say that this resolution is required of the grant. This is the language that the state wants. So it's my feeling that we will fail to get the grant.
Well, it's my feeling that I cannot support the this application with those two paragraphs in it. I'm not sure what the feeling of my compatriots on the board are, but I have grave difficulty with that. If we take out items 2 and 3, I would be able to support it, but I cannot support it in its present form.
Alex, you said you have not reviewed the contract or the application.
That's correct.
How long would it take you to get a review of this?
Well, since I'm leaving town at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'd have to get it tonight. I suspect I could review it while my wife and son are driving to Sacramento tomorrow and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and perhaps could get out some kind of thing to an email probably to Mitch tomorrow night or Friday. But I'd have to have it tonight to do that. Otherwise, it'd be sometime in the middle of next week.
Excuse me, what is it that Barbara can provide?
The certification is that the applicant has, well, there's several certifications here. The first one is that the applicant has or will have sufficient funds to operate and maintain the project. That's not within my purview. The board made a finding back in September that they had adequate funds for 3 years of operations. The board will have to do with that what they will. The second certification is that the applicant has reviewed, understands, and agrees to the general provisions contained in the contract shown in the procedural guide. That is, we're certifying that they've reviewed it, understand it, and agreed to it. I guess a letter from OCCI to that effect could fulfill that requirement, because your certification in any case ever is only going to be based on their representation to you that they have reviewed, understand, and agreed to it. The question that you'd asked me earlier was whether I'd had an opportunity to review the contract, and no, I haven't. I just got this on late Monday afternoon. The final certification is that the grantee, they, will have available prior to commencement of any work on the project the required match. I believe the required match is the loan. Is that correct? Yes. So if we're acting as the fiscal agent, we would be able to control the funds, not distribute any of the grant funds until they have the loan in place. So these two things are going to come together pretty close to the same moment in time. Certifies the project conforms to the recreation element of any applicable city or county general plan. That's all. We've already verified that, so that's fine. Appoints the general manager as agent to conduct all negotiations, execute, and submit all documents, etc., etc. So that's fine. So I can review the grant application and try to provide you with some synopsis of the resolution. Okay. I was asked about reviewing documents, and I said, I'll review whatever documents anybody wants to give me. But I'm not sure that review really gets you very far, because there's only three items that you're being asked to certify that are in controversy here. One is, do they have, this is, I'm starting to read in item two. The first one is, you're certifying that they have or will have sufficient funds to operate and maintain the project. I'm not qualified to make that decision. This board made a decision back in September that they had adequate money for at least 3 years. Okay? So that's the first one.
Okay. Can I stop here?
Sure.
Something right there? That's where the bank comes in. They had the bank manager right here before this board and told us they're in this thing for the long haul, and that if they needed money to operate, they would provide that money. Okay.
The second thing is a certification that the applicant has reviewed, understands, and agrees to the general provisions contained in the contract shown in the procedural guide. Well, I guess if I stood over Ms. Carey and watched her read it, I could tell you to certify that she's read it. I don't know, unless I gave her a quiz, that we could certify that she understands it. So usually those sorts of things are handled by receiving a letter from the party that says, we have reviewed, understand, and agree. And I'll bet you if we look at the contract, they sign off saying that anyway, although I can't tell you for a fact because I haven't seen the contract. So that's the second thing. I can't really add an awful lot to that. The third thing is that the grantee has or will have available prior to the commencement of any work on the project the required match. The required match is the loan. Now, they've applied for the loan, and you have an unconditional commitment letter, or you have a conditional commitment letter?
I think it's unconditional.
Okay. They have an unconditional commitment letter. I'm not sure that's completely correct, because one condition is that the lease is in place. The lease isn't in place until they come back to us with that executed contract that they'll probably have in about 45 days or so with the contractor, and evidence that the approved bid from the contractor is not more than the money they have available. Then we'll sign the lease. Then the commitment becomes unconditional. But since we're controlling the money, we're not going to cut loose of any of this money until they've got the match in place, until the loan is in place.
Alex, would it be fair for us to ask for a letter from the bank that's saying, yes, they are going to, just for our comfort before we sign this, that we have the letter from the bank saying, yes, they're going to loan them, and a letter form or something from their executive director saying, yes, she's done all these.
It is fair to ask the executive director to provide the letter. Back in September, we received and reviewed, it was part of what you did back in September, the commitment letter from the bank on the loan.
Maybe that it's still in place, just for our comfort.
That's certainly something you can request.
So the two letters. You want a new letter from the bank, or the existing letter?
A letter saying that their commitment is still firm.
Yeah, confirmation that the commitment is still in existence.
So it'd be a new letter. Yeah.
And it typically, I've seen a number of those, typically you're talking about one or two paragraphs
right.
That simply makes reference to the prior one.
And that would be sufficient for item three as far as the required match in your judgment?
I believe that is certainly sufficient for item three, and it is an essential element of the first half of item two.
And the second half of item two would be a letter from the OCCI executive director stating that she understands and agrees to all these provisions for the organization shown in the procedural guide.
And maybe also her board president signing.
My life away?
Uh-huh.
Why not?
Why not, Ruthie?
Why not?
Can I speak for a second?
Sure.
I'm Barbara Carey, executive director of the Oceana Community Center. And actually, the matching funds are from the CDBG money. We've met that match, so we aren't dependent on the loan for the match. And that was also discussed before.
Today, it has to be available prior to the commencement of the work on the project. So your fiscal agent, your general manager, has the control to not release any of the funds before the work starts under this grant money.
That leaves me with the first line of item two being a strong concern.
Well, if they're going to have a sufficient funds from the bank loan, and we're going to get a letter from the bank saying that is still ongoing.
Do we have the letter from the bank?
Well, before
before
the president of the board signs it, we would have it.
At the September 22nd meeting, we had in hand the commitment letter from the bank, which was primarily directed towards construction funds, but there was also, and I can't cite you how much it was, but there was a reserve in there to supplement the operating funds for over the first 3 years. And those funds were available. Those funds were taken into consideration in connection with the spreadsheet, which you mentioned earlier that you had some concerns about the financial documents that they submitted, and those concerns were, in fact, discussed that evening. But the board did approve on that evening the funds that were available as being sufficient to meet the requirements of the lease to have funds available for 3 years to operate the facility.
So if we approve this resolution tonight, then we can also, I would hope that we can say, but it will not be signed by the president of the board until he gets the letter from Ms. Carey and the bank.
So we're having a conditional certification?
Well, we can go ahead and certify this, and then...
Procedurally, what you would do, if you are willing, is a motion to approve the resolution subject to receipt of the two items that Director Mann just identified, one being the letter from Ms. Carey identifying the items outlined in two, and the second being a short two-paragraph letter from the bank saying that the loan commitment is still in place.
I guess subject to those conditions, I would entertain it.
Okay, then I'll move that we pass resolution 2004-32 with the conditions that have been set forth by the board.
And can we enumerate those conditions again for purposes of the motion?
My understanding of the conditions are that first, the executive director of OCCI provides a letter directed to the district verifying that on behalf of OCCI, she has reviewed, understands, and agrees to the general provisions contained in the contract shown in the procedural guide. Am I going too fast for you, Gina? Oh, you got it. Okay. And second, that Coast National Bank provide a letter directed to OCSD confirming that the loan commitment remains in place.
Just one correction, Alex, that not only Ms. Carey signed that, but Mrs. Brackett as president of the board.
It's your motion.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll second
the motion. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion from the board? Any other comment? Roll call vote, please.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Vice President Ann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
President Hill and members of the board, thank you. I appreciate the dilemma that you were in. These items are not easy, and particularly for the two new board members, I really appreciate you working on this and moving it forward, because we are going to have a celebration towards the end of 2005 with that building open. And as we're completing the building, we will be moving into our operations mode. So...
Yeah, Vern reminds me that it's been a couple hours that we've spent on this issue, so I'd like to ask for a 5-minute break.
Thank you.
No, Bernie, you gotta stay. Sure. Wait, I'll get it.
Okay, thanks, baby. My wife has either got a hole in her pants or a set on something. I'll let you tell her.
Okay, moving on to item 7A, reports of district representatives.
You've got it on the tape. Your glasses are hanging on your shirt.
Well, see? That's why the wrong one for some of
you. Okay, next item up, Vern, for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting.
Okay.
Give me a quick moment.
Gina, is the tape on?
Thank you.
Yeah, go on to someone else. I'm actually missing some of the people.
Barbara, would you continue with the Oceana Housing Advisory Committee?
Okay, we had our meeting last Monday night. We reviewed a number of projects. They were basically lot line adjustments. People that came with our lot line adjustment, they were granted. Those that didn't come, we sent them back to the county and said, or just we'll deal with them when they came. I announced that I would no longer be on Oceana Housing. I've been there for 8-9 years, and it's somebody else's turn. I was not a representative of this board other than an alternate at Oceana Housing, so I did mention that there would be two new players from here, one a regular appointee and then an alternate, and they will hold their elections in January. I'll go in and just take the nominations and for the new elected president, and then I'll be gone from there. And that was basically what we dealt with.
Questions from the board? Any questions or comments from the public? Okay, Vern, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Vern attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting December 15th.
Okay, at the sanitation district, the number one digester has now been cleaned out, and the solid waste has been hauled off. We're now moving into the phase of the piping modifications and the adjustments. There's going to be a coating of the inside of the tank or inside of the lid as well. But prior to that coating, they're going to cut away one of the curtains where the top dome actually kind of fits down on top and inside the tank. And there was some cracking around the bolts to hold that dome down that we believed the earthquake related. And so we're going in for an inspection at this time to see how deep the cracks are and to try to get reimbursement from FEMA on those. It's already been submitted as part of what we're going to go for with FEMA. So that's starting to take place now. We're going to be starting to build the chlorine contact chamber, which is at this point currently, I believe, at about $2.3 million. And there's going to be a groundbreaking on January 19th. So that'll be moving. That's moving forward at this time. That was about it on the from the sanitation district. I also attended the Airport Land Use Commission. The Airport Land Use Commission, draft update for the airport master plan for the prop airplanes for the small commuter planes.
and moving more toward regional jets. They're starting to bring in regional jets into San Luis Obispo. The airport runway will be lengthened somewhat. And the other thing is with regional jets, they need 1,000 feet of runway at each end of the airport, as opposed to the 600, which they need at the with the turboprops. And those, so they're having to widen or to lengthen the runway. But what they're doing is they're going to be putting in gravel areas, which will mitigate the additional runway length, but they'll still end up lengthening it. The side runway, the secondary runway, which is more used by the small commuter planes, or the private planes, not the commercial commuters, but the small individual planes. And currently they take off across that small runway. The small runway, when they take off, they cross the main runway. Or can cross the main runway. They're moving the takeoff position so that it does not cross the main runway. And they will be lengthening that side runway as well, but at the same time, they are going to, it's going to be narrower. So it's going from 100 feet wide to 60 feet wide. And this is all in the master plan for that airport in the years to come. I don't have anything under others, so that concludes my report. Any questions?
Thank you. Board members have any questions? Any questions from the public? Okay, thank you. David, the Fire Committee?
Fire Committee meeting is canceled, although we talked to Dave Matthews at the barbecue Saturday, who was wrote the grant for the fire department. And Tim and Mike Steinhauser, Chief Steinhauser, and my son Craig met with the state on I-4 engine that they've been talking to him about, and they put in the grant and then withdrew the grant in light of their promise to help us out. And it sounds from what Craig and Dave both said, it looks pretty positive. So it looks like good things are going to happen. It's going to have to go through bureaucratic channels, but it's going to happen. And the only other thing I have is, I guess last night was Santa Claus night, and it was a big success. I understand they had to make up some extra bags at the last minute because they had so many kids here. So that's good. So go ahead.
Thank you. I enjoyed seeing Santa Claus run up the stairs. Any questions from the board? Questions from the public? Comment? Bill, do you have anything?
Yeah, today I attended the Zone 1-1A meeting here at OCSD where the county has turned over their jurisdiction of our Rio Grande Creek to the state, and the state now is in means of finding ways of charging the community money to maintenance of the creek. It doesn't sound like they've got any sure, quick solutions other than possibly sometime next year doing some removal of trees and then possibly later on into some of the sedimentation. It sounds like it's going to be a slow process. It was brought out at the meeting that Zone 1-1A pretty much narrows in on around the creek going from Oceano in the flood zone out to the farm fields up into Rio Grande. However, it was brought to the board by Cacho, our county supervisor, that it's not just these people that need to be charged fees for the restructuring of our creek. It's the other five cities or four cities. The sewer plant was to flood from the Rio Grande Creek, everyone's affected. And they took that into note, and you know, I guess there'll be more to come.
Experience by the county that they would have no easier time obtaining permits to do the necessary work. And they envisioned probably it would take several years to go forward to where they were actually removing sediment and some of the vegetation.
They say 10 to 15 years?
Well, I think they said 10 to 15 years if there was a new parallel project approved, which, you know, I don't know where the funding for a new parallel project would come or anything like that. But
well, I think the only thing that the state will have an easier time with is getting the money to do this, because it doesn't have to go before the public for a vote. The state just says you will pay this and you are assessed this.
That's right. That's an important point for Oceana residents, Five Cities residents, anybody in the area to realize that if this thing does get turned over to the state, which is in negotiation, as I understand it, from the county to the state, that there is no vote on this. Department of Water Resources already has the authority to do whatever work they deem necessary in their budget process and pass the cost along to the people of Oceano, especially, as well as the other people in the five cities who may be, what their term was, if it's people that get wet when it floods, they're going to basically be in the district and pay the bill.
Yeah.
Although we asked,
their zone of benefit would expand.
Right. And so that potential 100x multiple of cost, where a resident might be paying something like $5 or $6 currently, as I understood it, to the county, could be on the order of $600 annually if it was turned over to the state and they proceeded. And there would be no vote on that. No one would have any opportunity to say anything about it, and you would just get the bill. And furthermore, that anybody who refused to pay the bill would be given 5 years to either pay or not pay, and at the end of 5 years, their property would be seized and sold at auction. So that's a rather big gulp. That was not the only notice that I heard about this to the public came at the Oceana Housing Advisory Committee the other evening. I'm not aware really of any publication of something that would have such a dramatic effect on potentially on residents of Oceana as that. I mean, that was
another thing I thought was interesting. If the state takes it over, it sounded like perhaps they would. They would be running it out of Sacramento, so they would send their man down. He would come down. They said Sunday night or Monday, and he would be here, and then he'd go home Friday noontime. So we'd probably be paying for 5 days for 3 days' worth of work, plus his hotel, his living, his per diem, the whole thing. It wouldn't be run from out of here. It would really be run from up there. They did say maybe they would rent a little equipment here, but not all of it.
Right, and it sounded like they were not really interested in entertaining hiring local people.
That's right. They're not interested in that at all. Or that was the impression that we were up with.
Is there any other question?
No, I just was going to let you know there was an article in the newspaper.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think it's pretty much covered. We're looking at mandated charges, and they're going to try to take it out of the zone area, or property owners are benefiting, and distribute it via the sanitation plant to everyone in the 5 feet area.
And maybe
so
the
that means what that directly what that means is that your sanitation bill that is currently connected to your water bill will increase.
Well, and that way it would reach everyone.
Yeah.
So that was several things of dramatic concern came out of that meeting, needless to say.
And the it's actually a process of being turned. It's a process that's going through that the state is taking. It's not, you know, the county supervisors have, you know, their council feels that once they start the process, that it becomes the jurisdiction of the state. And the state is saying that it's not until they actually set up the budget and the assessment zone, or the assessment area, that it becomes their responsibility. But it's not that there's any argument as to whether the state is taking it or not.
Right
now, barring any drastic movement by the Florida supervisors, the state is happening. The state is doing.
Use local people to think this thing out.
Yeah.
I'll take an action to call Cacho and see if we can ask if he might rethink this, if that's really the direction that the Board of Supervisors wants to go with that.
I heard John Taylor, who was at the meeting today, and he's one of our local farmers. You know, he was flooded at the last major flood we had in 2001, and there was other farmers there that were concerned, and their side of the levee is the most probable to break. But I think that the way the state has it set up, they're going to be paying more money than any of us, because they own large parcels of land, ultimately putting them out of business in farming in this small valley here.
Or even more so, the commercial. Did you see the prices of the commercial?
Oh, yeah. It was
The farmers get assessed after 5 acres on a farm property, agricultural property. The farmers would be assessed. Each acre would count for 1/10 of an acre. And agriculture property is also assessed as a multiple of one, whereas residential properties, if I have it correct, would be a multiple of five. And then commercial and industrial would be like a multiple of 10. And I sat in the meeting thinking, wow, this is going to put our businesses out of business, but who cares, since the residents have already lost their houses. So.
And the other thing, when we had the flood a couple of years ago, and John Taylor and the folks that got flooded were able to sue the county for the money. Well, now, if that would happen, they would sue the state, and then the state would turn around and say, okay, and then they would up the assessment to pay for the lawsuit. So basically, you are suing yourself.
Yeah.
So.
One thing to add to that, the with the it's the water code that sets that at that one multiplier for agriculture, five for residential, and 10 for commercial. But that's, as you know, that's what it's set at. But then as soon as the bill is there, the county supervisors can change that and adjust that. They're not bound to that multiplier. And if they were, then they could only assess the sanitation plant as a commercial, if they could do it at all. But what they can do, since they're able to adjust that or change that or create additional categories to for charges, is they could come in with a government services category and use a multiplier of any number that they choose, and therefore waiting the payment for this any way they could basically work. So it's not set down in stone how this is going to be done.
Supervisors will determine that. Right, and they could establish perhaps a government category for something like the airport or the sand district, and then the supervisors would determine what multiplier applied to that, and that's a way that they could distribute the cost throughout the, not just to the people that got wet during the flood. So quite a bit to think about there. Any further comment from the board or comment from the public?
Okay, just for, this is Nina Grabiello, Seattle. Just for clarification, this is the state is doing this because they get their authority from the fact that we are, because that's state property, or because of the water, that we're getting state water, or where do they get the authority to do this?
My understanding is that since the Lopez Dam and the original flood control project that was done on the creek is a federal project, that the county has quote-unquote maintained that, although in the last 10 years you'd probably be hard-pressed to see any maintenance that was done on behalf of the county along the creek. The county, there's a state law that says the county can turn that maintenance district over to the State Department of Water Resources, and the Department of Water Resources could establish this maintenance district, and they would take over maintenance of the original project, not a different project, but the original project, which is what it looked like 20-odd years ago.
Mm-hmm. A stronger presence in the area. I mean, that's just my own personal feeling.
It is not related to state water, no.
Okay. Well, because I know in the paper, not this last Sunday, I believe it was the Sunday before, in the Tribune, there was an article about Schwarzenegger trying to consolidate state agencies and trying to trim down the state bureaucratic machine, so to speak, in order to save money. And I don't know that this, how someone could just call him on that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, well, if you want to decrease your overhead and administration, then why are you expanding on this? Although I do see the need to have somebody take over cleaning up, you know, because it seems like the county doesn't want to do it, even though, you know, they should. But they're just short on funds because the state's taking their funds anyway, you know, and so I just think people need to stand up and say no.
Any other comment from the public? Again, I'll take an action to contact Cacho and see if we can ask him, you know, in light of what we heard at this meeting, is that really the direction that the county wants to go with this? And those other communities in the five cities may want to think about how that might proceed. I know that there was a representative from Royal Grande, Jim Dickens,
and their mayor.
And that's right,